from WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Tuesday, August 10th. Coming up in part two of our series from Side Effects Public Media, we look at efforts to help black women who are HIV positive. They're infected at unusually high rates. That story in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. The amount of money Illinois owes for paying state retirees their pensions has ballooned to a whopping $144 billion, according to new official calculations from state pension analysts. Hannah Meisel reports.
$144 billion is the highest Illinois' unfunded pension liability has ever been. Illinois could chip away at some of that debt, or at least slow its growth, by paying more into the state's retirement systems than what's absolutely required by law. But Teachers Retirement System spokesman Dave Urbanek acknowledges that's just not Illinois' fiscal reality, and has never been during the entire 80-year history of TRS.
There is never enough resources to pay the actuarially correct figure.
For several years now, payments to Illinois' five retirement systems have made up about a quarter of the state's budget. And the last time lawmakers tried to curtail pension benefits to save money, the state's Supreme Court declared it unconstitutional. I'm Hannah Meisel.
Across Illinois this week, schools are kicking off practices for fall sports. Craig Anderson leads the Illinois High School Association, which regulates sports competitions. Speaking on the 21st show, he says he hopes all fall sports will follow regular timelines, concluding with state championship games. And he says IHSA will follow the new statewide mask mandate for indoor sports.
In the fall, the only sport that would be generally affected is the sport of volleyball, which is our only sport that is indoors that would require the masking. So that's our recommendation to our schools, that they adhere to the guidance that IDPH and the governor have put forward.
Anderson says sports mean so much to students, both physically and mentally, and he's hopeful that schools' adherence to public health guidance will allow sports to continue safely. Meanwhile, health experts in Illinois say the governor's statewide mask mandate for schools is a smart move. Illinois Newsroom's Christine Herman has more.
Research studies have found coronavirus transmission was low in schools that resumed in-person learning this past spring. But it's important to note that those studies were done in schools that implemented mask wearing and social distancing, says University of Illinois epidemiologist Becky Smith.
A lot of schools will be coming back to full or close to full in-person attendance, and so distancing is going to become more difficult. If we have to decrease something like distancing, we have to increase something else, like compliance with mask wearing.
Smith says rising COVID rates and the more contagious Delta variant make it all the more important for schools to take a multi-layered approach to safely reopening. That involves mask wearing, testing, and getting everyone who is eligible vaccinated. Smith made her comments on the 21st show. I'm Christine Herman, Illinois Newsroom.
57% of Champaign County's vaccine-eligible population and nearly 50% of the total population is now vaccinated against COVID-19. The state overall has a vaccination rate of 51%. County officials reported 75 new cases yesterday. The number of active cases is up to 642, a 50% increase compared to 1 week ago. And the CDC considers the level of viral transmission in Champaign County and all surrounding counties to be high and recommends mask wearing in all indoor public spaces. Still to come, black women are infected with HIV at much higher rates than the overall population. In the second part of our series, we look at efforts to help these women. That's next on 217 Today.
The 21st is where Illinois gathers for news, information, and daily conversation on politics, the pandemic, culture, and everything in between. I'm Brian Mackey, inviting you to join the conversation anytime, day or night, by leaving us a voicemail. The number is 217-300-2121, and we might play it on air. Then tune in Monday through Thursday at 11 a.m. on AM 580 and 6 p.m. on FM 90.9.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. The CDC reported the first case of HIV 40 years ago. Since then, we've learned much more about the virus and how to prevent it. But black women are being infected at unusually high rates. In the second part of a series, Side Effects Public Media's Darian Benson reports on efforts to help these women.
Pamela Goodwin started the Indianapolis-based nonprofit Women in Motion after she recognized she was at high risk for HIV, the virus that leads to AIDS. She wants to help other women, in particular women of color, in the same situation. But Goodwin says many Black and brown women don't tap into the resources offered by groups like hers. Getting tested for HIV just isn't a top priority.
They need food. They need different things, especially the transportation, getting them back and forth to the groups. You know, who's going to take care of their children?
So in addition to providing HIV resources, Women in Motion also helps with food and transportation. This sort of comprehensive outreach is especially important for Black women. They account for nearly 60% of new HIV diagnoses among women, and the rate of new diagnoses among Black women is 14 times the rate among white women. Alan Witchie is president of Damien Center, an AIDS nonprofit in Indianapolis. He says the outreach methods for one group don't necessarily work for another.
And that means we have to do services differently than we did before when that was not the case.
HIV campaigns have traditionally focused on reaching men who have sex with men, with outreach events at bars and nightclubs, but those aren't good places to reach working mothers. And he says the stigma associated with HIV is still a huge barrier to getting care, especially in communities of color. Some people don't want to be seen seeking care at a place that helps with HIV.
Not everybody feels comfortable coming to our main base.
Damien Center is trying to address that problem and reach more women, especially more women of color with families. This year, it opened a satellite location 11 miles away inside CAFE, the Community Alliance of the Far East Side. The Alliance is home to other services like career development, a legal clinic, and child care.
We felt like it was a safe place where women and families could go. They're already getting services, and it wouldn't be the stigma necessarily of coming to our main office.
Tammy Morris also has seen the impact of the stigma as executive director of the nonprofit Aliveness Project in Northwest Indiana. She says people avoid getting tested, and that leads to more infections.
I still have ladies who have not shared not with one person in their family that they're HIV positive.
To combat the stigma, Morris says there needs to be more conversations around sex and how HIV is transmitted, conversations that are already rare, but more so in the Black community. Morris says community is also key in reaching more women. She hopes to connect newly diagnosed women with older HIV-positive women to increase both awareness of the virus and the number of women who stay in treatment.
I'm really trying to figure out a way to get them together because I believe they could learn from it. They can learn from the history of the women who have survived diagnosis and in spite of the diagnosis are being able to live long and productive lives.
Deborah Stanley has seen progress in the 30 years she has worked in HIV outreach.
I didn't feel enough education and prevention service around social health issues. HIV was just emerging in our community.
She's the founder and executive director of Imani Unidad, an HIV prevention and advocacy nonprofit in South Bend, Indiana. She says it focuses on Black and brown communities because they need more outreach.
It's not enough, and it's the need to listen to us when we say this is who we are and what we need. Because one of the things that I keep saying is that you cannot treat us in isolation, number one. You cannot continue to treat us as though we are a behavior.
Stanley says Black women are often hypersexualized and blamed for getting HIV or sexually transmitted diseases. And as long as Black women continue to be disproportionately diagnosed with HIV, Stanley sees more work to be done.
We just have to stay the course. And we have to raise up young advocates to do the same, to keep them encouraged, to give them a historical perspective and tell them, here's the foundation, go forth and make it even better.
From Side Effects Public Media, I'm Darian Benson.
In the final part of this series tomorrow, we'll hear the story of a woman who's lived with HIV for more than 30 years. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says mostly sunny and hot today, with a chance of a thunderstorm late in the day and a high of 90 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Carolina Garibay. Reporting today contributed by Hannah Meisel, Christine Herman, and Darian Benson. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Mulmean. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.